The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, now, in the next 24 hours, Ireland will be voting for who they think will best represent their concerns. But who is doing it best? Well, joining me in studio for an election roundup is Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor with the Irish Independent. And we hope to be joined by Elaine Loughlin, political correspondent with the Irish Examiner, shortly. So, Fionnán, let's look at the parties one by one and see what their expectations are, what would represent success and what would represent failure. Fine Gael.
So Simon Harris has very definitely had an impact for them. All this energy and activity has at least, it's rejuvenated the party. They would argue that it has made people look again at them. We're seeing a lot of action around things like immigration. Not necessarily long-term fixes for issues. You can't keep putting railings down the Grand Canal. You can't keep erecting tents in the suburbs of Dublin, but nonetheless people were seeing that something has been done, and there seemed to be a sense within Fine Gael that up until now nothing was being done, and things were becoming quite moribund. So they were heading in to these European elections, in particular 5 seats last time, 3 would be a realistic target, and they were even struggling to target that before. Right now they would say, right, we'll take the 3 seats and do quite well.
So that would be, they'd be happy with that?
Yeah. Because
they've no expectation of more than 3.
Well, they think they're in with a shake for a fourth, to win 2 in Midlands Northwest. If things went their way, and there are a number of circumstances in which things could go their way, by way of transfers, a good constituency divide and so on and so forth, that'd be a real success for them on the day.
And on the council election front?
Their difficulty is that the figures they were getting last time, they didn't have a great day on the last occasion. Maria Bailey ended up getting the blame for that. There was said there was a bit of a swing against them in relation to swing being the operative term as a result of that. They picked up a couple of dozen seats under Leo Varadkar in his first election. Didn't do dramatically well. So if they can contain losses around the country and come out around about evens, then that's a good day out for them, and it then allows them to say, listen, we were in the doldrums only 2 months back. We're now back in action and gearing up for the next general election.
And that's the point. It's in the Taoiseach's gift to go to the country. He doesn't necessarily have to talk to his coalition partners.
No,
he just trot up to the park and go to the country.
He picks the date, and in the past you've had a perennial issue around Fine Gael leaders picking general election dates. Enda Kenny probably went too late in 2016. John Bruton went too early in 1997, taking Ivan Yates' advice at the time about going early in that summer. Ivan Yates never admits to that, but that's the reality now, a quarter of a century on. And you basically have a situation now where Simon Harris will now be under pressure from next Monday to go, right, so are you going to hold a bunch of by-elections in November, which will potentially give a boost to the opposition, or are you going to call an election in the wake either of these elections or in the wake of a budget in September, October?
You know, the famous Harold Macmillan phrase, events, dear boy, events. You never know.
No, you don't. I mean, because you're looking at this weekend going, the fortunes for a number of parties and their leaders could change quite dramatically over the course of this weekend,
now,
depending on things turn
out. Elaine Loughlin, political correspondent with the Irish Examiner, has quietly snuck in. Elaine, good morning and welcome. What's your take on Fine Gael's prospects?
I think Fionnán is right. There will be a lot of pressure now coming on the newish Taoiseach, Simon Harris, to make a decision. What was important, I think, to note with Enda Kenny is he listened to his coalition partner, Joan Burton, back in the day and decided not to go in November, but to wait until the new year. And then we saw what happened after that. So perhaps Simon Harris may decide not to listen to his two coalition partners who are vehemently stating that they want to see this government go the whole term, and that's right out to the new year. Especially Green Party leader Eamon Ryan has been strenuous to point out the positives in going the full 5 years.
What are the positives?
Well, I suppose they can deliver as much as the programme for government as possible. And I think housing will be one of those issues that government will be weighing up if they go a few more months? Can they get a few more thousand houses built in that time?
Okay, so
you show stability as well, though. You do say to the public, look, there's all sorts of other people offering change and reform and new ideas. Right, that's fine. We're offering stability. We continued on. We saw out the 5 years of our term. We implemented as much as the programme
government. Will they get credit, though, for these late moves, if you like? I mean, on this programme we were talking about how come someone gets on an aeroplane, wherever it might be, with papers and gets off without papers. And suddenly we're talking about increased fines and more liaison with the air between the border police, if you like, and the airlines. I mean, how long does it take?
No,
it's government
not,
for slow learners.
You're not going to get dramatic credit at this point. They're going to need to show that they are taking substantial action in areas like that, and that they can show that this is delivering a return. And that's it's in Simon Harris is still in his honeymoon period. He can announce lots of things here, there, and everywhere at the moment, but ultimately people are going to judge it on, okay, did this actually work? And you can't turn around and say you're all bright, shiny and new when you've been there for the previous 10 years.
Now, moving on to Fianna Fáil, Elaine, and what would be success for them?
Yeah, well, I think retaining above 200 local seats. They did incredibly well back in 2019. I think they were surprised by the number of seats at local level they received themselves or won themselves. So going kind of maybe 2 to 15 seats would be good at local level. They'll be expecting, obviously, to retain the current MEPs. It'll be interesting in Midlands Northwest. Three candidates put up there by Fianna Fáil. Could that actually go against them? It remains to be seen. But
it's a dogfight there.
It certainly is. And not just amongst Fianna Fáil, it has to be said. 27 candidates on that ballot. I don't envy those in the count centres that'll have to sift through all of those ballots and try and get them into pigeonholes, because they're going to be really, really long pieces of paper.
Now, if those numbers in housing completions zoom before the next election, Fianna Fáil will try to take the credit. But they're not likely to zoom that much. So will they take the blame?
Yeah, you are seeing a lot of starts. I mean, your problem with housing starts is that when are they actually going to be finished? People are, I think, genuinely seeing the evidence of the upturn. When you're driving around the country, there is certainly as much housing activity as you can get at the moment, given the skills shortage and so on. There's been a shift from commercial into residential, but people will want to see the results and will measure you across the 5 years. A bad day for Fianna Fáil is Barry Cowan not getting elected. A bad day for Fianna Fáil is Barry Andrews underperforming. He's put in an excellent campaign. He's outpolling his own party. He's doing really well. So three seats in Europe, a definite, and probably they're looking at maybe containing some losses across the country. And if they can do that, then that's not bad. If that doesn't happen, then the old Segosia has given out about Micheál Martin's leadership kicks in again, and we start speculating about maybe Micheál would be better off going out to Brussels.
Well, I asked him, and he said no. He's going to lead the party in the next election.
He does consistently say
no,
that, in fairness.
I was saying your party doesn't want to support Ursula von der Leyen for the next, for her second term. And if you're nominating the commissioner, whether it's yourself or somebody else, it's not exactly a good move for someone who might be the boss.
How do you mean?
You know, saying I won't support you.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But ultimately, I mean, Ursula von der Leyen has to accept, if she is indeed the head of the commission, has to accept whoever the nation states
nominate. Yeah, but the job, it's the job.
Huh?
You'd be, you know, you could be the commissioner for Tiddlywinks.
Yeah, but you could be somebody who, if Micheál Martin was to go out there as a former Taoiseach, foreign affairs minister and deputy leader, you would be expecting he would get a significant portfolio in fairness to him.
And likewise, I think if the other front runner, Michael McGrath, was to be put forward, he has significant experience as well in the finance, especially in the finance portfolio. So I think regardless of who Ireland puts forward, and it will be an Irish candidate, and two candidates put forward and then one selected, it would have to be viewed as an Irish candidate at European level rather than a Fianna Fáil candidate, even if they may be wearing that Fianna Fáil badge.
Fianna Fáil do have a problem though this summer. If neither Micheál nor Michael want to go to Brussels, well then who else are we sending? Are we sending somebody down the pecking order? I mean, We've three lads in Fine Gael sitting there now who would probably
bite your hand off
to get an offer like that. So after making such a song and dance that this is Fianna Fáil's job for the taking, they would want to be sending a heavy hitter, not a fella who is your third choice Minister for Agriculture. That doesn't wash.
Now let's talk about Sinn Féin, because their status in the polls has fallen, and in every poll, not just in one poll, the independent poll,
yeah,
the Ireland Thinks poll, but also in the Red Sea poll and so on.
And MRBI. And the bizarre thing is, normally there's a backlash against a party when they go into government and fail to deliver on all the promises that they make. Seen that with the Labour Party on a number of occasions, with the Greens as well. And this occasion, it's an opposition party who can argue, well, these policies have nothing to do with us. We're not actually in power. And yet there is a backlash against them.
Why do you think that is?
I think their stance has been muddled an awful lot over the course of the last 12 months. You get into that phase where you become a catch-all party. You're trying to be all things to all people because you're at a certain level of support, and then you're not clear what exactly it is that you stand for. So Sinn Féin on law and order and immigration, on the referendums, on housing, even we have seen their positions shift. They're becoming more mainstream. They're becoming part of the establishment.
Yeah, and I think if you look back to the 2020 general election, their slogan was change. It marked them apart significantly from both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, who were seen as the establishment parties. You see now that they're classed as the party, or the party that are the government in waiting. And if you've even spoken to any of the spokespeople, they've been talking about when I am minister for, when we are in government. And I think that maybe translates or trickles down into the general population as maybe getting slightly confused and maybe thinking they are in government. Because look, we're political nerds sitting around this table today. A lot of people are only looking into politics for the first time in 4 years when they see the posters go up, when they get their ballot paper in through the door, and when they have canvassers knocking. They're not really inclined to look at leaders' questions every week or the minutiae of Dáil procedures.
But they're still going to have a spectacularly good day. I mean, it's such a disaster 5 years ago in Mary Lou's first outing as party leader, losing half their seats, coming back with only one MEP. Like this time out, they'll almost certainly win three European seats. They're in the hunt for a fourth. That's a bit of a long shot for them. They will, at the very least, double their number of councils.
So the messaging will be positive.
Well, their messaging will be, oh, we've done vastly superior to what we did previously. What we're measuring it off is, okay, did you build upon your general election performance or not? And that's, I suppose, going to be the challenge for them, that they're looking at a situation now where are we looking at the results of these elections and go, well, yeah, sure, Sinn Féin did very well, but they're no longer viewed as this great alternative.
So is there lunch being eaten by people, candidates on the right?
Mm-hmm. I think so. And I think it's interesting, after the 2020 election, especially in Fine Gael, the mantra would be hold on long enough, stay in power, and the popularity of Sinn Féin will diminish. Now, I think it was probably assumed that if Sinn Féin goes down, perhaps the government parties might go up. But we haven't really seen that. What we have seen is these sometimes right-wing, but certainly independent candidates gaining popularity, at least in the polls. And to go back to what Fionnuala said as well, I think we will have to be careful around the framing and politician spin, party spin, but after these local elections, even if Sinn Féin do double their seats, that's still only bringing them slightly ahead of where they were prior to 2019. So they need an extraordinarily good day to just come back to where they naturally really should be.
Yeah, there's an obvious concern for them there now. Did they classically peak too soon? And this is going to be the first proper electoral test of that. They would, you know, if you looked 12 months ago, you would have said Sinn Féin heading for 250, 300 council seats. They would have been in the hunt for six European seats. And those ambitions have been neutered. So they're also their ability, what a big failing on their part back 5 years ago was getting the vote out on the day. Their argument after 2020 was that they're more organised, they have a better electoral machine in place. So that all comes to a firm test now.
I'll finally ask you both about the so-called rising right. I mean, what prospects are there that we'll have any MEP of that colour or significant numbers of councillors who adopt this banner?
I think we definitely could see a few councillors who are classified as far right, hard right, whatever you want to call them, get through. On a European level, it probably will be slightly more difficult. Now, there are a few in the running, as we saw in the Sunday Independent poll at the weekend. But it'll be interesting to see, because there are so many candidates in each of the three constituencies that are on the right, will they simply cancel themselves out, or will they actually help each other out?
And the question is, will they transfer to each other? Because the PR system tends to find a home eventually.
And none of them, you would say, are ready, set across the line. They're all going to be in the hunt for final seats. So therefore, those transfers from lower order candidates are going to be quite important. Dublin is the big one to watch this weekend. I think the other two constituencies are relatively predictable. Ireland South and Ireland Midland North West, you'd expect the three big parties will win the first three seats, and then there's a scrap for the remaining two. But Dublin is different because nobody is actually safe there. There are circumstances in which any candidate could get caught in a position, and therefore Niall Boylan is very definitely in the hunt there for the final seat. But he's going to need to get a substantial first preference vote
to put himself in that position.
Yeah.
All right.
I'd have to agree with Fiona on it is. And you can't dismiss, I think, maybe Aintu's Pather Tobin as well in Midlands Northwest could surprise some people in whether he can get across the line. I think it will definitely come down to transfers.
He's been Pather, I wouldn't call him far right, but certainly immigrant sceptic. He's been raising question marks about that. Michael McNamara has been doing the same. So it is possible to be raising question marks about the immigration system and the performance of the Minister for Justice without necessarily being far right. So they are two candidates who could benefit from that.
All right, and then Pather get elected, we then have to watch what he does.
He's going to take up the seat for now, but not at the general election. Then he will pass it on. So would he run in his own by-election? That would be the question in November if it comes along.
All right, on that note, Fiona Sheen, Ireland editor for the Irish Independent, and Elaine Loughlin, political correspondent with the Irish Examiner. Thank you very much. Just a note from somebody. Nobody in our estate got our polling cards yet. That's from Anne and Lucan. Well, Anne, all you have to do is bring along ID, acceptable ID, and you'll get your vote. So you will not be disenfranchised. All right. Thanks very much to our commentators here.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.